Huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we just want to bless you this morning. Thank you so much. For this is the day that you have made, and I love what Josie Miles said, and we have decided to rejoice and be glad in it. So I know that's what we represent. Our church has decided to follow Jesus all the way. And no matter what's going on out there in the world, the people are arguing about monies and house notes and everything. Guess who has the final say anyway? It's Jesus. So I need y'all to help me this morning as I begin to sing the song. As I say, who has the final say? I want y'all to say, Jehovah has the final say. Amen. So here we go. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. No matter what the bills may say, Jehovah has the final say. No matter what the doctor says, Jehovah has the final say. I have no reason to fear. Come on, say it with me. I have no reason. I have no reason to fear. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. Yes, he is. The Lord is my light. Yeah, yeah. I have no reason to fear. No fear. I have no reason to fear. The Lord is my light. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light. Come on, y'all. Clap your hands. Come on. Huh. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. No matter what the news may say, Jehovah has the final say. No matter what the money may say, Jehovah has the final say. I have no reason to fear. Come on, y'all said it with me. Come on. I have no reason to fear. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. Yeah, yeah. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear. The Lord is my light. Yes, the Lord is. The Lord is my light. Come on, let's say, I have no reason to fear. Everybody, come on. I have no reason to fear. Say it again. I have no reason to fear. Come on, keep going. I have no reason to fear. Come on, stand up and dance right there. I have no reason to fear. Look at the devil right in his face. Tell him, I have no reason to fear. That's right. Tell him, I have no reason to fear. No matter what your family might say, I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to fear. What? The Lord is my light. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light. Why? Why is it? The Lord is my light. Come on, y'all say it loud. Say it. The Lord is my light. One more time. The Lord is my light. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord some praise right now. He is worthy to be praised. Yes, he is, because he's an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for all you do for us, Lord God. Woo! I was just dancing and just enjoying myself with the Lord just now. Almost ran out of breath. Hallelujah. But you know, one thing I realized, that Jesus, he is real. Now, he is real in everything that I do. No matter what it is, I can always count on him to do everything that I need to get done. So I just thank you, Lord. And I know right now, where y'all standing right there, y'all are just exhorting the Lord, and y'all thanking him for everything that he does, because he is a way maker. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Let me get right over here, and I'll be with you in 1 second. But just do me a favor. Keep on praising God, because he is worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus is real. Hallelujah. This is all new to all of us. So just give him some praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because he is real. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all sing this with me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's a real God. Amen. Everything else is idols. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. He's real. Don't you know he's real? Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Yes, he's real. Sometimes when I'm feeling low, hallelujah, nowhere to go, Jesus comes along and he makes me strong. For I know, whoa, 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 Jesus is real. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody sing with me. Say, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. He's real. Don't you know he's real? Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm feeling down, no one around, Jesus is a friend that I have found. For I know, whoa, 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 Jesus is real. Hallelujah. You know that? Because I can feel him in my hands and feel him in my feet. I can feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet. I can feel Jesus all over me, over me. For I know, whoa, 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 Jesus is real. Hallelujah. I can feel him. I can feel him in my hand, feel him in my feet. I can feel Jesus all over me. For I know, whoa, 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 Jesus is real. Y'all say that loud today, amen? Yeah. Say he's real. He's real, 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 real. Oh, yes, he's real. Oh, yes, he's real. He's real, 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 real. Oh, yes, he's real. Oh, yes, he's real. I know he's real. I know he's real. I know he's real. Come on. I know he's real. And I know he's real. Come on. He's real. He's real. 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 Oh, yes, he's real. Yes, he's real. I know he is. I know he is. I know he is. I know he is. I know. For I know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on, sing, y'all. For I know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you're on your job. For I know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus is real. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord this morning. Come on. He's real. He is real. He's so real. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Reverend Brown. Come on in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is real. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful work toward the children of men. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Vivian Brown, and I serve as one of the ministers of Manna. Welcome to Manna Christian Fellowship Church Online, where Jesus Christ is still Lord. So on behalf of our pastors, Marvin and Kate Mason, our assistant pastor, Michael Hardy, his wife, Tamara Hardy, the elders, the ministers, the entire MCF family, we welcome you online this morning. We are a family church, a Bible training center, and a world outreach ministry, equipping men, women, and children of God who will stand the test of time. Amen. Amen, Reverend Tomlin.
Yes. Hallelujah, Lord God. Let's prepare our hearts for worshiping right now. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God, because of who you are. Thank you, Father, for being an awesome God that you are. You are here, Lord God, for each one of us. Even in the midst of all this trouble, Lord God, in the world, you have all of us to love, and I'm going to be on you. Thank you, Lord God, for being who you are. Jesus. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Because you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Because you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. You are here, turning life around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Yes, come on, stay with me. Waymaker, miracle worker. That is who you are, Lord God. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise keeper, darkness, my God. Oh, my God. Come on, say it with me. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Say it with me one more time. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. My God, that is who you are. Whoa, whoa, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate Reverend Coleman, your worship. I can tell from hearing you that the Lord has ministered to you as you were ministering to him. And he has moved in your heart with a heart of worship to honor him today. And I think that's appropriate for this time. I think what's I'm hearing a lot is that during this time of distress, that we should be entering into a deeper level of worship. That doesn't mean, I'm not just not talking about singing song. I'm talking about a heart that is being poured out to God, being crying out to God to have mercy on this world that we're living in, that where people don't know, even within the body of Christ, we just don't know about everything that has transpired up to this point. But we do know that you are God. Wrote down when you were singing, Robert Coleman, well, actually, before you started singing, you said Jehovah has the final say. And that's such an appropriate word for this time. God, I think the one thing that needs to be preached during this time is that God is sovereign. He doesn't have to explain himself, protect himself, explain everything. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And a lot of times, on a human level, we're trying to relate to God on the human level. But he's bigger than the human level, far bigger. God is not distressed. He's not reacting out of a lack of knowledge. He's certainly not reacting out of emotion. God is who he is because he is who he is. He's who he says he is. He says what it means, and it means what he says. And we who are Christians and this world, God created everything in this world. And this world needs to honor him and worship him regardless of what's taking place in this earth. And yes, we're human. We want to ask why, but God, I think we need to be saying who. You're God. And so because of that, we are coming together this morning to honor you, to worship you. I pray for everyone on this conference call that you have given us a means that while we cannot physically gather as one, we still are one because we all had the same God, the same Savior, the same Holy Spirit, the same Word of God. This book it's called the Holy Bible. It is the number one best-selling book every year. It doesn't make the New York Times best-selling list because God didn't copyright his book. it outsells every book every year, the Bible, that says something. Now, just because it's out selling every book doesn't mean the Bible's in everybody. The goal is to not purchase the book, but understand how your soul has been purchased by God through the giving of His Son. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, last Sunday, and our lives have been purchased, have been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. I want to talk to you this morning about putting on the whole armor of God, but you know, I think we need to take a moment to recognize the cross and recognize the blood and recognize the name of Jesus. I know He's not on the cross. You don't have to send me a text. Nobody needs to send me an email. I know He's no longer on that cross. He's resurrected. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. But that doesn't mean His work is done. He is forever making intercession right now for us. God, Jesus, is still doing something. He's, before we ever utter a word out of our mouth, before we opened our eyes this morning, God, Jesus, does not sleep or slumber. And He's making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit of God, who prays the will of God, is making intercession for His people. And so I want to thank you, God, for praying for us and praying for me, praying for my wife, praying for our children, and praying for our grandchildren, praying for our church, this family. It's called Manna Christian Fellowship. Why? Because we have fellowship both with God and man. Thank you that we have all things in common, that we are not a divided people, but we stand on the name of Jesus and the word of God. God, you are our source. You are our provider. You are the giver of life. You are blessing us each and every moment, each and every day. Every time we take a breath, we should be thanking you for that breath. Somebody didn't take a breath this morning. Somebody that was breathing yesterday, not breathing the breath, the air that's in the wind today. Thank you, God, that we're here. Did you bless us to see another day? We honor you. Don't let us waste it with the things of the flesh. Don't let us waste this time that you've given us. This is a great time to witness, to be a witness in the earth. This is a great time for the harvest to come in, the harvest of souls, Lord. Because people, even if they don't know it, they're looking for God and searching for God. And some do, but some don't. Some, they don't know why they're here. They don't understand what the meaning of life is. They don't understand that they're here for a reason and for a purpose. God has a vision for them. They don't see that value to the kingdom of God. So I pray that through the foolishness of preaching, souls will be saved. Through the foolishness of preaching and teaching, that people will discover their destiny, their purpose, why they're here, why they are made, why not only why they're made, but why are they fearfully and wonderfully made. Because every single purpose, God, you told, I believe, Peter, don't you call anything that God has created common or unclean. Every person, Lord God, through the blood of Jesus, can be clean before you. So thank you, God. I bless you this morning. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to thank you all, Sonia, for being in the background. I know the things that you're doing to help us. For everyone that's in the background making this Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y, I need to start a Sunday movement. We know Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is coming. But every day is a Sunday. And I want to start a Sunday movement to get people's eyes off one day and understand that every day is the day of the Lord. Every day is the day of salvation. Every day the name of Jesus should be lifted up. Every day we should be spending time having our minds renewed in a word of righteousness, in the word, not a word, the word. And I want to emphasize that I don't approach God for a word. I want the word. I want the rhema word for me right at this moment. You should pursue God for the word. Jesus is the Messiah, and He is the way, the truth, and He is the life. So thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I want to read out of Ephesians chapter 6. It's the full armor of God. Y'all bear with me. My tablet's not wanting to cooperate, but that's in Jesus' name. You will cooperate in the name of the Lord. There it is. See? That's all I had to do. The name of Jesus made it cooperate. It says in verse 10, actually, this is talking about the whole armor of God. I don't want this to be a I've heard that before message. Our minds ought to be renewed day by day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by because we heard it one time. It doesn't come by because I got that on the CD or my favorite TV preacher or my radio preacher or my internet preacher. Well, they just preached on it just a couple of weeks ago, so I got it. No, my mind is being renewed today to this, and I've read this many times. It says in verse 10, I'm reading from the New King James, but I might read from the Living Bible, too. I don't know yet. It says in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brother. Now, the fact that God put finally, this is the conclusion of the matter. This is getting to the end result. Finally, my brother, God said to do what? Be strong in the Lord. During this time of distress, that's the message. For us who are believers, we are called to be strong, but not in our own thing, not by our own muscles, not by our own education, not by our own this or that, who our family is, nor that. But we're to be strong, the scripture says, in the Lord, and that's the connector, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might. It's by his might that we can be strong in the things of God. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. That's our part. We have to put it on by act of our will, by a decision of our heart, to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I believe Christians, we are called equipping men, women and children of God. Thank you, Reverend Brown, for the welcome. Equipping men, women, and children of God who will do what? Stand the test of time. We are called to stand during this time, during this day of stress and distress. We as believers, we are called to stand. But God tells us not only to stand, but what we're to stand against. The wiles of the devil, the evil one, the resister, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's no person that's your enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh. If we find ourselves in unforgiveness, if we find ourselves angry, if we find ourselves frustrated with people, that's wrestling with flesh. But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We are called to wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. If I know most of you that are on this line, you're members of our church, if there's anyone on the line that you've been invited, I say welcome. But I want you to know that you are called to warfare, because there are two kingdoms operating right now, even as we speak. Even as we have risen this Sunday morning, there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light, and there's a kingdom of darkness. They're not equal, and only one is going to win. Both are pursuing the same thing, the souls of people. Pursuing the souls of people. I want that emphasized. The devil's not trying to get your money. He's trying to get your soul. The devil's not trying to get your house, get you to lose your job, get you this. The devil's after your soul. John the Baptist says the axe is laid to the root of the tree. When God deals with anything, he goes to the root of it. And the wiles of the devil, the root of his evil work is that he's pursuing the souls of people. Now, if he can't stop you from getting saved, because he knows you're going to heaven, and he knows he has but a short time, then he wants to make you ineffective. He wants you to destroy your testimony. He wants you to be so occupied with the things of this world that you're not occupied with the things of God. I mentioned this last Sunday, I think, and I'm not trying to, and this is not to be funny or to be a cliche. Many people spend so much time sanitizing themselves, which is fantastic, which is great, which they need to do, wash your hands and put on a mask and the gloves, and I understand, I get it. But sanctification is more important than sanitation. And during this time that we've had at home with the families and or friends, or maybe you're just alone. You may be, you know, a single and by yourself. But this is a great opportunity in terms of time to pursue a closer walk with God. And I lost my train of thought. Bear with me. Bear with me. It's coming back to me. So that you don't find yourself wrestling with what you hear on the news, what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your emotions, how you feel and all that. You're living off of what God has declared, what God has said, not what people are fearing. This is the time. This is the time where souls shall be ushered to the kingdom. If you happen to be in a marketplace, you have to go to the grocery store, you have to go to the pharmacy or wherever it is you may need to go. It's a time for you to be a witness in the earth, so that fear is not on your countenance, but faith is on your countenance. The love of God is on your countenance. That if you're at work and you're not working from home, you have to go in to work. Or you know, if you had a cash register and you could be at the register just humming gently hymns while you're working, because you never know how that would touch somebody's heart during times of distress and problems. There were people, there were slaves in the field that, you know, while they were under the master's whip, they were singing hymns while they were picking cotton. And mothers would have babies strapped on their backs working in the fields, and they would be singing hymns. Sing the Psalms. Encourage yourself as David did. Encourage yourself in this time of distress. You know, thank God that God has people that can encourage us and help us and have a sympathetic voice and have compassion. But you also need to encourage yourself. You know, all this is putting on an armor. Let me finish reading because I got to get to my notes. I haven't got to that yet. Verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, meaning having done everything, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all things, the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench not some of the fiery darts, but all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Coronavirus is a dart, and we are able to quench that dart by putting on its armor. To take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All of us are ambassadors for God, and we are to speak boldly as we ought to speak. We cannot be muffled. We cannot be silenced, and we cannot be silent. Yes, there's a time you need to learn. That's the time when to speak and not to speak. There's a place when to speak and not to speak. But the reality is the church during this hour needs to be vocal and visible. And I thank God for what many churches in this city, many churches in this state, many churches in this country have done for the church to step forward and step out and be a blessing to the world, doing it in the name of Jesus, doing it when you see someone on a, you see people in the medium sometimes asking for money and things, and the Lord puts on your heart to hand them something. Make sure that you do it in Jesus' name and let them know you're doing it, not in your name, but in Jesus' name. Now, let me go through this whole arm of God. I read through all those verses, and I really want to take each one, one by one. Don't know if I'm going to be able to time-wise, but I do the best I can. The first one, the scripture says, is, let me go back. I'm going to go back just a second. Okay. Put on the whole arm of God. Okay. Bear with me. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The waist, that's your, you know, people that exercise know that's your core. That's your center. That's your most innermost being. And that's to be girded with truth. It is so important how we handle, carefully handle the Word of God, carefully how we handle the truth. We need to be people who stand for the truth of God's Word, no matter what, no matter what persecution we have to endure, no matter what we may have to go through. I'm not talking about preaching at people. I'm not talking about talking at people. I'm talking about talking with and to people. We are God's voice in the earth, meaning, he's using our bodies to communicate his word to others. How can they know? How can they be saved except there be a preacher? Simply meaning a preacher is a proclaimer. John the Baptist, what did he do? John the Baptist was the greatest, according to Jesus, and I'll take Jesus' words over everybody else, including mine, but Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets. And John the Baptist, as far as we can tell, never raised the dead, never called fire down from heaven, never, you know, God didn't use him to part the Red Sea. But what John the Baptist did and what he was a proclaimer that Jesus, a Messiah, the Christ, was coming. And, of course, we know he did. With the church, which we should be going forth in the spirit of Elijah, we should be proclaiming his second coming. We are proclaimers that not only will he conquer this virus, but he's coming back again. But he's not coming back for everybody. He's only coming back for those who have received him as both Lord and Savior. Well, minister, can I make him my Savior? Because I do want to go to heaven. But, you know, there's certain things I like here, and there's certain things I want to do here, and there's certain places I want to go here. So can I make him my Savior, but not necessarily my Lord? Well, no, you can't. They go hand in hand. This is not an either-or proposition. This is, he's both Savior and Lord. If you have received him as your Messiah, then you made him the Lord of your life. That means he gets to dictate your life. And there's nothing wrong with that. He gets to put demands on your life. Nothing wrong with that. It means that he demands sacrifice. He demands your time, your energy, your money, your relationships. Everything, we need to give every part of us over to him. So we need to stand. One of the great truths of the scripture is that in the last days, and I'm hearing a lot of folk during this time, they are talking about the last days. During these last days, there would be an apostasy, a turning away from the truth of his word. And God says he, because of that, he would send strong delusion, not just delusion, but strong delusion. And you got to make sure we approach God correctly. When God sends delusion, when God turns people over to what the Bible calls a reprobate mind, many of y'all have heard me say this before. God's mercy endures forever. That doesn't mean it's available forever. There are some that God has turned over to a reprobate mind. There are those whom God has, because they rejected the truth of God. And I like to add this. This is just me. God did not tell me to add this. This is not a God told me or God said. But I like to put it this way. Because they rejected the truth of God's word, when they heard it. There is something about Abraham's obedience. It was immediate. And there's something about the receiving of God's word, that God will give, he'll have mercy on us. He'll give us grace. He'll give us time. But there's the place that a person can come to because they've heard, and they reject. And God simply turns them over to something that they can't escape from. So I want to make sure that I'm not, maybe not talking to Christians right now, but the world understands that this whole distressful season that we're in is because, I'm not saying I know, I believe, is because of man's rejection of the truth of God's word, and wanting a God who will give them substance and keep them out of trouble, but they don't want a God who can command their life and dictate their life because he's sovereign. Okay, let me move on. I don't have time to go into that. We've got to make sure our core, our most centered person, is girded with the truth. Number two, the second thing was having put on a breastplate of righteousness. This is your heart, your spirit, and it needs to be covered by righteousness. It's not human righteousness. It's not fleshly righteousness. It is the righteousness of God that can only be found in Christ Jesus. If you're not born again, you're not living in the righteousness of God. I didn't say you're not a good person. I didn't say you don't do good deeds. I didn't say you're not trying to help people that need to be helped. But that's your own righteousness, and God calls human righteousness. He says it's like a filthy rag. It's dirty because all has sinned and have fallen short. Before any of us got born again, before any of us were saved by the grace and the blood and the truth of God's word, the reality is was that we were all dirty. We had all sinned, and then we had all fallen short. We couldn't point a finger at somebody else because all of us had fallen short. But that's good news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. That's good news. There is a righteousness not bought with our deeds, but purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that through his righteousness, we can stand before God righteous and justified. That word is one of these words in the scripture sometimes we don't necessarily get sometimes. Justification is to be made just as if, is to be restored just as if we had never sinned through the blood of Jesus. That's how powerful and strong the blood of Christ is. I don't care what cults say. I don't care what backslidden former teachers of the truth say, that, you know, there's one prominent, or was prominent preacher who in my mind just backslidden the guy off into some really strange doctrine. But he said the blood of Jesus was not strong enough to forgive all sin. Well, that's heresy. And I pray that the Lord restore him and that his mind be renewed again. I won't even mention his name. I'll just move forward. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, that's our feet. You know, that's our walk, how we live, our manner of living. And we, as Christians, we should be walking in a peaceable life. Doesn't mean there's not confrontation, but we are at peace with one another. As Christians, we should be, as believers, we should be at peace with one another. I'm going to keep pushing that. That needs to be emphasized. There should be no schisms in the body. You know, there should be no not getting along. We should be loving one another. Doesn't mean we like everything somebody does. Love and like are two different things. You can love somebody, but you don't necessarily like everything that they do or everything that they say. But even when somebody does something we don't like, we still should be at peace with them, because one of the most difficult things for us to do as believers is to forgive others who have trespassed against us. Let me go on. And then so having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. The shield of faith. God is always looking for faith. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, when I return, meaning his second coming, he said, will I find faith on earth? Now, I don't know how in this modern day Christianity, how faith is being defined. I would choose to rather see it how God sees it. Faith to me is a trust in God, that God says what it means what he says. That's everything. That's both what we consider to be the good, the positive, but also even in judgment, we have faith in God. During this time of distress, 23rd Psalm, he never leaves us, he go through us through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus said in the Gospels, I never leave you or forsake you. There's a hope. There's a blessed hope. There's a trust that even during this distressing time, that God is with me. I think, get this revelation. God's with you. No matter what you're going through, you got enough money, you don't have enough money. God is with you. God said of Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. Everything he went through, being sold to slavery by his brothers, and being in Potiphar's house, and one Pharaoh made a promise, and then the Pharaoh died, another Pharaoh was raised up, and he didn't even, you know, he didn't know about the promises. And I mean, it's incredible, but everything that happened with Joseph, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. You need to proclaim that every day. The Lord is with me. Yes, I put this mask on. Yes, I got these gloves on. But the Lord is with me. That, sure, one of those micro drops or whatever it is, the doctor say it is, they're so tiny and small that even like Paul, when he put his hand in the wood pile and there was a snake in it, and Paul shook it off, that knowing the Lord is with me. I'm not saying tempt God, but I'm saying the Lord is with us. The Lord is with me. So I have the shield of faith. Now, a shield is the block. I said the shield is the block. Some of these fiery darts quench. So these darts that the devil sends to us, temptation and all that, is to block those things from entering into the body or entering through the arm of God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Well, now I can spend a lot of time with this. I'm going to try to shut down in just a few minutes. The helmet of salvation was a Roman soldier's most costly piece of armor. It was designed to protect his entire head. Now, if anything people need protection from, is in the mind. You cannot look at television all day and look at all the news that's going on about this virus all day long and soak all that in your mind and in your emotion. You got to protect your mind. You have to protect your mind. You got to put on this helmet of salvation. Salvation means it incorporates everything: deliverance, healing, prosperity. And prosperity is not how much money is in your account, but being at peace in the time of trouble and so forth, and having on this helmet of salvation, knowing that even in my mind I'm born again, I'm saved. That the devil cannot talk me out of my salvation. He can't explain away my salvation. He can't be, you know, when I come out of a wilderness being tempted, and then coming out of that wilderness, he tried to tempt Jesus, and by quoting scripture of all things. But Jesus didn't fall for it because he was quoting scriptures out of context. And so that's religion. And Lord, my relationship with you will not be hindered because of religion. I have a relationship with you because I have a relationship. Thank you, God, for that. God, put on this helmet of salvation. And here's the one I really want to I want to close with this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, that Bible that you have, that's your sword. And this is your weapon that you go on the offense with. This is not defensive. This is offense. And we are to have the sword of the Spirit. That sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's not just words, ink, black ink and red ink on pages. I just picked my Bible up. I don't know if y'all can hear my Bible pages turning. I just want you to hear that. It's not, this word has to be hidden in my heart. That's why every day, matter of fact, let me give you some practical application. Get the Bible on CD, on CDs. Get a jump drive, and it's got the whole Bible on it, or you put the whole Bible on it. And make sure that you hear that something from God every day. I would suggest you read your Bible while you're listening so you know how to pronounce certain words and people's names, especially throughout the Old Testament. But have that going in your house, the word of God. Matter of fact, when we get back to our building there at 6851 South of Burnham, we need to have the Bible playing in the sanctuary. And maybe I'll find a way to do that. So, and even when, the whole service, the Bible's, low volume, but the whole Bible just, the word of God going forth at all times. There's no end to it. You should have no end to the Bible. There's no ending to it. And make it a priority, because you have to protect your head, because what this world plants through Madison Avenue advertisement, through the news, et cetera, it plants fear. It plants unrighteousness. It plants untruths. Those things get planted in the mind, and we have to protect our mind at all costs. You have to protect your children's minds. You have to protect your grandchildren's minds. Don't let other people raise your children, meaning some people want the school to raise their children, or the Sunday school to raise their children, or the church to raise their children, or the babysitter to raise their children, or the daycare. You're responsible to raise your children. Train them up in the way that the Bible says, in the way that they should go. Train them up in the way that they should live. Training is not just teaching. Training has been an example. Training is showing them the way. There is a, what I see, one of the wiles of the devil is that he goes after our children. And we living in such a time now where we it's amazing how much out the house time now that people have had for decades. And the Bible tells us all things work together for good. One good thing about this coronavirus, it forced people back into their home. Maybe it forced people to eat dinner as a family, or breakfast as a family, or lunch, all three. Have you snacked as a family? I don't know. Have your breakfast, then get a morning snack. Get your lunch, then get a lunch snack. Have your dinner, then get a dinner snack. Then have a bedtime snack. Do what but let it be family time so that parents can raise up their children in the way that they should go. I believe fathers primarily, yes, fathers and moms, but fathers primarily, before your children or grandchildren go to sleep tonight, walk in that room. You don't have to go in there with a sermon. You don't have to go in there with, 30 chapters of the Bible you want to read. But take your Bible and read a verse. Read some verses to your children or your grandchildren. Or whoever God has appointed you to be a guardian over, and then say a prayer for them. Let them hear your voice reading the Bible to them at the end of the day. That no matter what has transpired at the end of the day, they will not fear. Because just like the devil's attacking adults with fear with this virus, he's attacking children with fear as well. And so we put on his armor. Thank God for it. Father, it's in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can put on the whole armor of God. Let me share one more scripture with you. It's in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15, 16, and 17. Just three verses. Then I'm going to close. It says in verse 15, Nehemiah chapter 4, and it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone, unto his work. And it came to pass that from that time forth, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, shields, and the bows. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. That's us. We ought to be about the work of the ministry on the one hand, but we have the weapon of our warfare in the other. That is the sword of the Spirit. We have a word for God, a blessing from God, a peaceful word to do, to go out and win souls and to tell people the good news. But I also have a sword of the Spirit to do warfare with. And we ought to take this word and share it. And give it away. Give it away. Don't sell it. Give it away. Freely we have received. Freely we are to give it away. Fathers, in Jesus' name, I pray for anyone on this line that's not born again, it's not saved, it's not washed in the blood of your son, that they understand and see they are on this line by assignment from God. This is a day that God has ordained for them to hear the good news. To hear it explained, to hear it in a such maybe a simple manner that they can understand it. I pray, God, you will give them understanding and that they will come to the knowledge of God in this trying time, that they'll get their eyes focused, their focus off of everything that's transpiring, what they can't go, what they can't do, and understand you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if you're not born again, I'm going to say a prayer. This prayer is for you. It's just for you. If you are born again, number yourself with the transgressors, like Jesus did. But it's for those who may not be born again. I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to say it with me and mean it with all your heart. The gospel is not easy, but it is a very simple thing to do. If you believe it, this is what I meant by faith. If you believe it, and you have to act on what you believe. So just say this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, come to me. Save me. Wash me. I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace. Grace means I haven't earned it. There's nothing that I've done so good that salvation will be given to me. Thank God for good deeds, but good deeds cannot help my soul. I know, I've heard, the devil's after my soul. He wants the innermost part of me. But God, you want my soul too, and you created me. You breathed the breath of life into me, and I became a living soul. Come into my heart today. I repent of all sin, anything I've said, done, thought, Lord God. And if I've mistreated anyone, if I cheated anyone, Lord, forgive me. I say I'm sorry to you, Lord. And I pray that I won't live that way anymore for the rest of my days. I want to live for you the rest of my life. Teach me your ways. Teach me how to think. Teach me how to respond. Teach me how to serve. And teach me how to love people, because every single person that's born on this earth is created in the image and likeness of God. And that includes me. thank you for making me and including me in this prayer. It's by your grace, it's by your mercy that you have included me. Thank you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. The only God, the only Savior, the only Lord. Jesus, you are the I Am. You are the I Am Lord. You are God wrapped in flesh. And the Word, according to the Word, became a living soul. Thank you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And I will ask, if you prayed that and you have meant it with all of your heart, that tell someone. Tell a friend. Tell a neighbor. Tell someone, a family member. Tell them that you this day you were born again. You can even unmute your phone. Star six. If you want to proclaim that you got born again today. And let everybody hear it. Because the Bible says when we confess God openly, he will confess us openly for the angels of God. God bless you. I don't know, Pastor Hardy.
Yes, sir.
Bless you, man of God. You come on and we receive our sacrificial offering today. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for that word. Amen. 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 Just want to share a scripture with you. It's Psalms 116. And the scripture says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits?" I was just thinking about that question this morning, and I found myself silent because there have just been so many blessings that I didn't even know where to start. But David went on. He said, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." And then he said, "I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." But, you know, he also said in Psalms 56:12, he said, "I must perform my vows to you." You know, it was almost like an urgency, almost desperate, because, man, how can you thank God, really, for all that he has done? But then David said this. He said, "I will render thanks offerings to you." My gosh, that's us. That's us. We need to render thank offerings unto God. And then in Psalms 4 and 5, he says this, "Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." Praise God, praise God, praise God. Just want to remind everybody, if you're sending your tithes and your offerings by check, please send them to Manna Christian Fellowship Church. And that's and send checks, not money, P.O. Box 38247 in Riker, Virginia, 23231. And if you're giving online, go to www.mcfmanna.com. Locate give and follow the directions for giving. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, you are the giver of all good things, and your word makes clear that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We ask, Lord, that you accept our tithes, offerings, and prosperity gifts, and you use them, Lord, for your glory. For freely given for others, we pray that you will multiply these, our offerings to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ask or imagine. Bless everyone giving and cause them to prosper in all they do. Keep our hearts and our minds always on you, Lord, regardless of what's going on around about us, because, Lord, this is what we know. We know that you have the final say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.